Hello, everybody, and welcome. It is now 12 a.m., so it's time for my show, Tuning Out. Welcome. It's a very special episode. It's the last show of the year. It's very unfortunate, very sad. But, you know, looking forward to next semester. This episode is also special because it is my final project for a class, Music and Nature, at Tufts. I'm joined in the studio by my esteemed guests. Please introduce yourselves in any order, you know.
Hello, my name's Day, and I'm a sophomore.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of repeating, I feel like. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Edwin. I'm also a sophomore.
Hi, I'm June.
What year are you?
June is also a sophomore. My name is John, and I am also a sophomore.
Lovely. We got a room full of sophomores here. And that's great. I'm also a sophomore. My name is Michael. DJ Bach is my name here. So, here we go. Before we start with the music of this hour, I'm going to play some audio clips for you guys, all right? Mm-hmm. And I just want you to just tell me if they're music or not.
Okay.
All right? Oh. That's all you got to do. All right. So, here we go. This is a classic to start us off. No, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Why is it so cool? Yeah, there's sound. Can you not hear? This is music? You can't hear it?
No.
No, I turn the monitor. Oh, because the mic is on.
Okay, technical difficulties figured out. Was that music?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
I didn't quite hear enough of it, but...
It was Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I think that's a consensus, yes. All right. I'm going to play another clip for you. Listen up. That was the sound of a northern cardinal. Was that music? Just go around, you know.
I think yes.
You think so?
I think it's definitely a song. But who knows?
Well, it's just your opinion now. It's what do you think?
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I agree with June that it is a song, but I don't think it's music.
You don't think it's music, but it's a song.
Yes.
Interesting. Maybe we'll come back to that. Third here, I'm going to play one more after this. So, is this music? All right, that was an orchestral rendition of a frog sound. Okay. Was that music?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
Oddly more hesitant than on the cardinal.
Because that one sounded more unintentional. But
so we can come back,
we'll
to,
come
that.
Back
so
to that.
So you think intention has something to do with it. Okay, June.
I thought it sounded more like geese on a lake in crisp wintry air.
Interesting. But was that a musical goose?
I would say it's a song, but I'm less inclined to believe that it's music.
Okay. Interesting.
I think it's music.
I also think it's music. I have a question.
Yes, of course.
Can we know that it's in, first of all, like, it's sheep music that we're seeing here? Is that part of the equation that we have to
Like, I mean, no? you can see it now, so that should factor into, okay, you know, your...
Then yes, it's music.
So yes, it's music.
Yeah.
Okay. And last one here. One more. So that was cicadas. This is a 10 hours of cicada YouTube video. It sounds kind of similar to the last one a little bit, but is it music?
Well, it sounded like there was wind and cicadas.
Sure.
I don't know if I'd count the wind as part of the music, but I count the cicadas as music.
Okay. Very interesting. So the cicada, is it because they're like alive, do you think?
Well, yeah, and because they're, like, doing the song.
Sure, okay.
I would say it isn't music.
Okay.
It is or?
It is not? Okay.
It's not.
I don't think it's music.
Okay.
Same response as the Cardinal. It's a song, but it's not music.
Okay. A very interesting response. So, across the board, the ones made by people were, well, the first one everybody agreed was music, because, you know, that's what we're familiar with. The nature ones we're more on the fence with, which we can come back to that. And even, like, the nature replication made by a human was some people are on the fence with that. So, on that note, today we're going to talk about interspecies music. It's a musical genre where people blend the sounds of nature and human music. So these musicians usually use, like, animal noises with their music. Some guys even do, like, live duets, kind of, in air quotes, with animals. You know, like birds. There's gonna be a cicada song in here where guys playing music with cicadas. And, you know, it's really interesting. It's very experimental. So they try and play in response to the animals, you know, like a real musical duet, a little give and take action. And they think that the animals are playing back in a way. And there's, you know, some controversy around that idea because, you know, can the animal really understand you and play back? And is it really a musical duet or not? Maybe it's more like skepticism, you know, not really controversy, but you'll see more when I play it because it's a little unique. So the first artist here, I'm going to play three, is David Rothenberg. He's probably like the main interspecies musician that's still, I guess, working. He's been doing this for like a little over 20 years. He has a quote. He says, "Music is in the ear of the beholder." And he thinks that not all natural sound is music, but there is music in natural sound. So, kind of like what you were saying, John, with the the wind cicadas. He's also involved in bioacoustics, which is the study of animal sounds, the scientific study. Fun fact, David Rothenberg actually called in to the class that I was taking, Music and Nature.
Oh,
he zoomed in. We got to talk to him. Really interesting guy.
Was he a cool guy?
He was a cool guy, you know. He was very passionate about what he does. He's been told off, I guess, by a lot of people in his career, and he keeps doing it. Which, yeah, you know, there's a lot of merit to that.
You love to see that.
You do love to see that. So he has what he calls the 11 paths to animal music that he follows when making music with an animal. This one, like, that I'm going to read is for birds specifically. I'm going to read out all 11 of them, so just try and keep them in mind when listening to Rothenberg's music and like interspecies music in general. So, like, let the ideas sort of influence how you think about interspecies music. So, first one. "Forget the name of the bird you hear. Just listen to each song as if it's a wonder you have never heard before. 2. Leave mostly silence and space. Become just another nameless bird trying to fit your own music into the entire soundscape. 3. If an encounter with the bird music is not changing your own music, then you have not listened long enough. Try to make something new that no one species could make alone. 4. You are not the center of the concert, just one more musician in the mix. Don't feel the need to be in charge. 5. Remember, this is some of the oldest music we know. It's millions of years older than our species. There must be something right about it to have lasted this long. 6. Thousands of years of people trying to make sense of what is and isn't musical in birdsong have made it no less elusive. It still lies beyond our comprehension. Work with that ineffability, engage with the other while knowing you will never completely understand him. 7. Scientists may tell us birds care only for the sounds of their own species, ignoring everyone else. But as listeners, we hear otherwise. These creatures are precisely attuned to sound. All kinds of tunes around them engage their attention. 8. We cannot ask other species to explain themselves, since it is not language we share with the birds, it is music. Music does not exist to be decoded. We and the birds exist to make it. Make it together, and the whole world feels its power, its joy. 9. Add a groove or a drone with caution. Sure, a repeating, grounding musical force can make any flights of fancy seem logical, but you want to be leery of imposing on a phrase meaning that might not be there. 10. Who can tell what music means anyway, be it human or avian? It's the essence of birds to sing, we are the same. There is so much music in the world, and we cannot escape our yearning for it. 11. The world needs no more music, it needs no more of us. Still, we keep going on, and the more we listen to everyone else out there, the more we might make music as necessary as what the birds have been singing for millions of years. It sounds very profound, doesn't it? He's very into this.
Definitely sounds profound.
Yeah, I like that perspective. So, with that being said, I'm going to play a couple Rothenberg songs. The first one coming up next is Willow Wind, a duet with Nightingales. And then Magus Cicada Unexpected Road, which is a duet with the droning sound of cicadas. And I would put duet in air quotes because, well, I'll just let you listen. It's some pretty unique stuff. So here we go with Willow Wind and Magus Cicada Unexpected Road by David Rothenberg on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Thank you. All right, that was David Rothenberg, the first interspecies musician we're going to listen to here. That was Magus Cicada, Unexpected Road. Before that, we had Willow Wind, both by David Rothenberg. If you're just listening, just tuning in now, we're listening to some interspecies music, a genre of music where musicians play along with animals and use animal noises in their music. So, you guys all listen to that, and you all have opinions on it, I'm sure. So, just a question to start off, like, what you thought about it. Was that music? And more importantly, would it have been music without Rothenberg's contribution to it?
Want to go first?
Yeah. If you have thoughts, just chime in.
Okay, yeah, I'll start. Yes to both accounts, I think. Yes, it was music, and yes, it would have been without Rothenberg. That's my take.
Yeah, if just.
I think it is music with David. Can I call him David?
I mean, sure.
I hope so. you're right. But it would not have been music without him.
If it was just the noises.
If
of
it
the
was
birds.
Just the sound of the birds and the cicadas.
I ask you if he published a recording of birdsong or just the cicadas and put it on Spotify. And said, "This is a song."
Interesting.
And didn't play anything. He recorded it and uploaded it.
Then yes, it would be music.
Then what? How's that any different to what he's doing here?
Well, I think this is music, but I'm just saying, if it was just, for example, if I saw David out in the wild with his instruments,
sure,
right, I would think it's music. But if he was not there, it would not be music, it would be sound.
So it's not like a duet?
It is not a duet. It is David using the animals as an instrument.
Interesting.
That kind of goes back to some of David's points, where it's like the music is everywhere. You have to become part of the soundscape by listening and being mostly like silent. I think that's kind of... Because what's the difference between that, like being there and hearing it from Spotify, the exact same recording?
Well, I think the difference is that a person decided to record that section and then upload it.
So you're putting intention is the main contributor.
But what if you are the intent? You are the one. You are the intender. You know, when you're there.
I'm confused. Wait, what do you mean?
Like you said, if it's on Spotify, it's different because someone had the intent to record it and upload it. Mm-hmm. But if you are there, you can have the intent by just listening and, like, you know what I mean?
You mean like if this was like a live show with David, no. And I was there?
No.
Or I accidentally stumbled into him. Sorry for speaking over you.
No, all good. That was my bad. You were still talking. No, I meant if you are in the woods, so for instance, like face to face with the nightingale or the cicadas, you know, instead of having someone record it and upload it, it's just you. You are the one that's like intending to listen to it as music. What's the difference between like that and hearing it from Spotify?
I think intention is from the perspective of the author of the music and not the listener, because I don't think the birds are intending it to be music for you.
That's understandable.
You know what I'm saying?
So do you think, like, that if I walked out there and I said, I don't think it's music, John, like, and I walked out and I was the only one with the cicadas, and I come back and tell you about me listening to the cicadas, and I said, oh, I wasn't listening to music, but you said, oh, yes, you were. Can you say that? Or can you not say that because I was the one that was listening to it?
Are you asking me?
Anybody. I mean, you were the one that sort of was saying, like, the one that was listening is...
I mean, yeah, I would say you were listening to music. I don't think that it is... Well, no, okay, sorry. I wouldn't say that you were listening to music. I would say that there was music.
Sure, sure. That's it.
How do you differentiate music from just sound, then?
I think...
Hold that point.
Okay.
We'll get to that later.
I never asked that question.
You did, but I'm going to punt on that one.
All right.
All right, so... by the way, if you are listening over the radio waves, feel free to go to WMFO.org and pull up the DJ chat if you have any thoughts or opinions on this topic. You can drop them there and interact with the show. It's a live show, yeah?
And could I talk about one more thing? About the 11... rules.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like I am being very adversarial to David Rothenberg right now, which I mean
it's an understandable response. It's very like it's so unfamiliar.
It's very unfamiliar. Yeah, maybe this is just, you know, a bias of novelty for me, but I feel like I don't think Mr. Rothenberg ascribes to his own rules. Can you pull up like the rule where, because there's one rule he says which I thought he did not obey, which is, can you scroll up? Yes, rule number two, become just another nameless bird trying to fit your own music into the entire soundscape, which I thought was interesting, because Mr. Rothenberg kept almost overpowering the birds, right? He had like sort of like harmonies and melodies that didn't fit in at all, and I was a little bit intrigued because, you know, he wasn't following with the birds, he was kind of just like playing over the birds, which I don't really know if that was intentional.
I agree, especially on the cicada one. I feel like that was really big.
Yeah,
but
this one I feel like is a bird centered.
Yeah,
I don't think you can, because cicadas kind of just drone. They don't, you know,
fair enough,
not much versatility with their noise or music.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I gotta move things along here. There was a great discussion, but it did eat up quite a bit of time. So next up, the artist I'm going to look at is Chassol, I think, because he's French. He's like a more contemporary, I guess, artist, more approachable, I think.
When was Mr. Rothenberg in his prime?
He's been in his prime for over 20 years, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's been at it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's been making interspecies music longer than you've been alive, man.
Interspecies sound.
Well, okay, hold on. We'll get to that later. Anyway, so Chasol, he doesn't really play. These aren't live recordings. You know, he's not playing with another animal. He's just taking the field recordings and then using it sort of in his music. And then you'll see as we listen to it, but he plays synth on top of it and sort of like musifies the audio. It's really interesting. But like I said, it's more approachable and less, you know, scary to accept this music, because he has worked with Frank Ocean and Phoenix in the past, two people I really like. Yeah, crazy. So we're gonna be listening to Birds Parts 1 and 2 by Chasol on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Thank you. So those were Birds, Parts 1 and 2 by Shussel on 91.5 FM WMPO Medford. Let me check the DJ chat if anybody said anything. So, first off, did you guys like that?
You want to go first?
Just like...
Yeah, I enjoyed listening.
Yeah, me too. I was a big fan of the whole album, honestly. I recommend it.
I low-key... I liked it. I actually really liked that music, and I understand... how he collaborated with such big names. He has, you know, his musical quality is pretty high up there.
Sure. So as far as, like, deeper discussion goes, can you sort of compare that, you know, use of, I don't want to use the word use, but I guess interaction with music, nature's noise as music to Rothenberg's? And was one more musical than the other? And... do you think their interpretation of the music in nature is different? Like, obviously, they both hear music in nature in some aspect, but do you think they hear it differently?
I guess I'll say that I thought they were exactly the same in terms of using music sounds.
Interesting.
Using nature sounds. They used... the nature exactly in the same way. I mean, I guess one of them like recorded it and then put it in like, I guess like a music creator or something. But like the essence, I would say is exactly the same. What were your other questions?
Is one of them more musical than the other? And do you think their interpretation of the music in nature is different? Like, do you think they hear it differently?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for them whether their interpretation is different, but I will say...
Based on the art that they've created with it.
I think no. I think they have the same sort of interpretation, and I will say both of them are equally as music as the other artists.
Which is to say... Oh, but you... Yes, because it's... They intended it for doing music. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I very much disagree.
Wow.
Yeah, believe it or not. I think that their interpretations of, like, the music of nature are very different. I feel like Rothenberg kind of takes, like, I don't know. I feel like, who is the second guy? Shussel?
Shussel, yeah.
Okay, I feel like Shussel, like you said, they use it more as an instrument, as part of his song. I think Rothenberg more, and maybe not perfectly, I'll say, but tried to keep kind of like the song of the bird, the nightingale, like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I think they were both music.
Yeah, equally. Well, or is that not something that could be quantified or compared?
I don't know if music is a scale.
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't call it a scale.
I think
so
it's a binary, you know, music or sound.
Music or sound. We'll come back to that later, I think. any closing remarks?
Okay, by the way, can we say that this was not planned? This is our own original opinions. I feel like we are...
Yeah, this is our actual opinion.
These guys always, they never agree on anything.
We agree on many things, I would say.
We do, but every time there's a debate, we're always on opposite sides.
Yeah. Mostly. I think that they are using it the same way because I don't believe that... the nature sounds can be anything but an instrument. So I guess maybe I'd agree that David Rothenberg was trying to make it non-instrument, but it is still an instrument. So in that way, you know, they use it the same way.
Sure. I'm going to move things along here. The last artist here that we're going to look at is Jim Nolman. He's more on the Rothenberg side of things. You know, he likes to play the music with the animals. I'm playing some music of his because he was like the earliest example of interspecies music that I can find. This is from 1982. He is, believe it or not, a Tufts alum. I found this yesterday doing research. So shout out Jim Nolman. It's from his album Playing Music with Animals. He's also an environmentalist. He has an organization that he founded in 1978 called Interspecies, actually, where he sponsors artists' efforts to communicate with animals through music and art. So very on brand with this. I see some skeptical looks. I'm going to play a couple of his songs and, you know, just to close out our listening portion of the show. So this is heavy metal guitar / orca. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's playing with an orca in this first one and a wolf pack in
the
second one.
That's so sick. That's actually pretty cool.
So.
Can I say that he just gets a step up just because those are cooler animals? Can I say that?
Yeah, sure. So we've got heavy metal, guitar / orca, and vihuela, and wolf pack number one. And you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFL Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Thank you.
All right, that concludes our listening of Interspecies Music. I hope that you guys... Yeah, the mics are on.
Okay, great.
That concludes our listening, and I hope you guys enjoyed your introduction. I'm guessing introduction, because I don't know how many people out there are listening to this kind of interspecies music on the regular. Maybe if you know David Rothenberg, or Jim Nolman, you know. He's born in Boston with the Tufts. So... That was Vihuela and Wolfpack Number 1 and Heavy Metal Guitar / Orca by Jim Nolman. So just real quick on this, just, you know, what did you think about that one, you know, in comparison to the others?
I like the guitar and I like the acoustic guitar. Was that the acoustic guitar on with
the Vihuela?
On Vihuela?
No, that was the instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I like the instrument part of that.
Yep.
And that's all.
Great.
The wolves were there as another instrument.
You're and they very were, adamant about the I instrumentation of these animals. Yeah. Sure.
I like them. I like the songs.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to, I think, some meatier conversation. So... I think we should wrap it up with just a more... I want to come to at least some kind of consensus. It doesn't have to be, you know, a clear consensus. But I want to talk about the idea of, is the sound of nature music? Just broadly, generally, is the sound of nature music? And I think I want to start with the question, do you think nature sounds are musical, and how has this genre of music influenced your opinion? Just anybody, just jump in. It's we'll get to more stuff later, so just touch on what you think.
I think it's musical. To be honest, I don't think the genre really changed my opinion much, because I kind of came into it thinking that.
Sure, yeah.
I think now that it is music, I think the first song kind of changed my mind, because, like... When the guy was, like, playing his instrument, the birds were, like, also an instrument. And when you play, like, for if you play any instrument, that's music. And so if the birds are an instrument, then that's music.
Sure.
Well, I kind of disagree there, but, of course, that's fine. I think... well, if musical means, like, sounds good, then I would say, of course, you know, it's musical. But if musical means, you know, being music, I would say, no. Nature is not music. Nature is just songs and sounds, and they can be, you know, nice to listen to, but they're not music.
Sure. So I think that ties back to sort of the question of, like, what do you define as music? Like, when does a sound stop being just a sound and adopt, like, a musical quality? Because obviously, like, if I, like, close a door, that's not music, although some might argue that it is. But, like, obviously there's some sounds that are objectively, like, more musical than others. So, like, where does that come from, do you think?
I think two things. I think, firstly, music is anything the artist thinks is music.
Sure.
But secondly, I would say that, like, I guess I'm not a bird expert, but John, you know a little bit about birds, right? Why does the cardinal sing?
Depends on the song, but mainly mating. Yeah, like communication.
Warning of predators is a big one.
Warning of predators is big. Communication just in general of, like, territory. But also studies have shown that birds sing for fun. They just sing for no real reason.
Sure. Like, for the potential, like, aesthetic quality to it. Mm-hmm.
Could I give... Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, you can talk.
I was gonna give my definition of music.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think music, I agree, has to be intentional, but I don't think I'd say, like, intended as music. I think just, like, the sound is intentional. I think it has to be repeated or like rhythmic. So like, if you just like stub your toe and you're like, ow, that's not music.
Sure.
But
if you stub all 10 of your toes in rapid succession.
Ow, 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 ow. No, that's not really intentional.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
sure.
Like just a response. But I think also it kind of related to the intention. It has to like convey some sort of meaning, and that can be like communication wise or that can be like feeling, like emotional wise.
Sure. I want to bring up potentially to change your mind, Day, about you think the animals are instruments sort of used by the musicians. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
And that like the sound itself isn't necessarily music.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about John Cage. You guys might have heard of him before. You might have heard of this song at least, 4:33, which is just like 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence that he recorded. And then he was like, this is my song. The song is the sounds of the concert hall where this was recorded, and you're all shifting in your seats and, you know, groaning, what is this, you know? This is the song. So he argued very strongly in his lifetime that all sound is music, and that there's a musical property to everything. And there is always sound. He tried to reach a point of zero sound. He went to an anechoic chamber, and he could hear his heartbeat and his, I think it was his, one of his, like, systems, like a lymphatic system or something, like, working. He claimed to hear it.
I believe.
Yeah, so he said, as long as we live, there will be sound. So, as long as we live, there will be music. And here's a quote from him. Actually, this is him quoting someone else, but I think it's pretty powerful and might change your mind. He says, there's a beautiful statement by Wittgenstein, the philosopher, who said that the word beauty has no meaning. It simply means that something clicks for us. Then he said that people should put a clicker in their pocket so that when something doesn't appear to be beautiful to them, they can just take it out and click it. If you develop an ear for sounds that are musical, it's like developing an ego. You begin to refuse sounds that are not musical, and that way cut yourself off from a good deal of experience.
Yeah, that's very profound. First of all, I would say that what was it called? 4 minutes?
4:33.
I think that is music.
Sure.
Because specifically, he decided to you know, produce it, and it intended for other people to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I think, like, for birds, for the cardinal, I think, are they singing because they want us to hear it? Probably not. Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe they are, you know. But I think intention to be music is a very important part of music. And I feel like, okay, you can say like everything is music and everything and nothing is beauty and everything is beauty. But like, you know, then why use the word music at all? You know, like words have meanings, and you can't just say a word doesn't have any meaning and yet use the word.
Yes, I thought the exact same thing. Is if you have all sound and music are the same thing, then, you know, music has to have something. It has to separate itself from sound.
And I feel like if you say all sound is music, that kind of diminishes, like, people's work, you know? Like, there's a very important cultural aspect to music, and you say, oh, everything's music. That feels kind of derogatory. I don't know, you know?
I don't think it's derogatory so much as it's, like trying to be appreciative of not just the people but of the entire system, like the entire world. Like, I don't think it's meant so much as like, well, yours is music but so is the sound of this computer. I think it's more like yes, yours is music, but also music is everywhere. And I think the difference would be that music is just like the appreciation of sound. You know, he said like beauty is whatever you think like clicks. Music is that for sound. So it's just like whatever you appreciate. whatever sounds you appreciate.
Yeah, I've got a source to back you up here. So a study was done, I think, in 2021, where they asked participants to like make music with like non-musical sounds over the course of 2 days. And before the study, they surveyed their like responses to sounds and music. Mm-hmm. And after the study, they were shown to have basically improved, like more favorable behavioral responses to non-musical sounds, just in general. And for nature in particular, after the study, they had 100% positive responses to nature sounds across the board.
What were they before?
I think it was like high 80s. So now these people are like finding, I guess, beauty and appreciation in these non-musical sounds that weren't there before, which goes to show that like it's all sort of linked to perception. Is if you perceive a sound as beautiful or musical, then it is, I guess, to you. But then that, you know, you talk about if the concept of music is only linked to your human perception, then like, is there any music like outside of humanity? Which, you know, is there any music just in the sounds of nature before there are humans to perceive that aesthetic quality?
Well,
And we have 4 minutes.
And we got 4 minutes to do this. Okay, well, like, you can still appreciate sound.
Yes.
Like, you might enjoy nature sounds more. That doesn't change that they're still nature sounds. You know? It doesn't have to be musical to be musical.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? That doesn't have to be music to sound good.
Yeah. Okay.
You view music as entirely human made. There is no natural music. Because you said that it has to be intended to be music to be music.
I guess if sort of any other animal intends for music to just be like, I don't know, unnecessary to survival, sort of like a statement of identity, then sure. I think that's another big point that has to be like sort of related to identity somehow.
So would you say that like it'd probably be more like skeptical because we can't know why animals are making the sounds they do or why things make the sounds they do? Or like more it's not music from the get-go?
I would say unless you show me an example of an animal that creates music as a sort of like expression of identity that is not related for survival, right? Isn't for reproduction, and or it is thought by that creature to be music, then it's music. Otherwise, it's just sound. And it can be beautiful, but just sound.
Sure.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, do you guys, those who have not spoken to us, do you guys have any closing opinions? Like, yes or no, music or not, the sounds of nature?
I think it's music.
Yes. Okay. That'll do. All right. So thank you guys so much for listening to this special edition of Tuning Out. I hope that your brains have expanded and your perception of music has possibly expanded as well. Some of us has not. So I'm kidding. I jest. And maybe you will go on to listen to more interspecies music in the future.
I'll listen to Chasol more.
Yeah. I do recommend that album Big Sun by Chasol. It's very, very good. What?
PSA.
Yeah, we'll get to one. I don't have time. So that is it, and thank you for listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Okay. And we're going to do a public service announcement because it's the top of the hour. So take it away, Day.
Make every step count in the fight against diabetes. Join Step Out to Fight Diabetes this fall and help raise money for a cure. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-888-DIABETES today.
Thank you so much. All right, we're going to put on the automated music for you guys. just to transition maybe into the next show. We'll see. And thank you guys so much for listening to me this semester. And I'll see you next semester. Give me a second while I turn on the music.